Show.
Oh, we're going to live.
Yeah. We're living now, buddy.
I'm alive. I'm alive.
Let's see where we're at.
Come away with me in the night.
Oh, yeah. See, you won't even stop singing.
Little Nora Jones.
Whoa.
Coming to theaters.
So that's can you give us one of those?
In a world.
Whoa.
This March, you'll see five men talking to five other men about cookies underneath the stairs.
I miss that. I wish they still had some of those. They don't do that at all anymore in movie theaters or movie trailers.
AI's taking all the cool jobs. In a world.
Oh, that was it. That was it. Oh, my God. We're bringing it back.
Oh, that was wasn't that Pablo Francisco bit back in the day?
Yeah. Get to the chopper.
No.
In 5, 4, 3. Hey guys, how's it going? We're back. Nick Campbell here, and with me as always is
David Seal,
and we are
Rhythm and Wit. Yeah, this is the podcast, episode 40 of the Rhythm and Wit podcast. This is a podcast where we discuss and explore the creative and artistic expressions of artists and performers in Oklahoma City and beyond.
Nice.
So today we have
we're here with
Austin
Slaughter. How are you doing, brother?
Welcome.
Dude, I'm so happy to be here. I'm doing really good. This is nice.
Yeah.
I do want
to let everybody know that Austin has been having
I blew my voice out and I won't relax.
You just can't.
That's it.
You won't let it.
So you're getting the
ASMR versions of Austin Slaughter.
Dang, that's pretty solid. We'll go NPR with it. Okay. Hey, how's it going? So I got a few things I want to ask you. First off, I want to say glad to finally have you on.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Yeah, you were one of the first podcast. You were the first podcast I ever did whenever we did that over at your house.
Okay.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that.
We talked about it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I was 2 weeks into comedy, and you were hey, buddy, you want to come to my house?
Yeah.
And you just invited a stranger to your house, so I appreciate that, man.
Hey, you got enough laughs for me to be okay, there's some.
Oh,
and then
okay.
You had a deep story. That where you come from a lineage of things where you were like you have Anne's sons right on your there's such a deep well of just human story
something
in
there,
working
huh?
with family.
So, oh yeah,
what's the name of your podcast? I didn't know you had a podcast.
So I ran one called Riffing Austin for a while, which is still up. And then I just started three new ones recently the Dipheads.
Yeah.
We have just the Dipheads pod, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we started a D&D campaign.
Nice. Record it and all that.
It's been pretty great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then we started another one called Small Town Insecurity, which is solely based off of the AMC reality TV show Small Town Security. Takes place in Ringgold, Georgia. They had two seasons. It was 2012-2013. And we decided to hate watch it one night on Tubi.
Yeah.
And we were captivated by these people. We were like, this is wild. Okay, I relate to this. This is so unfortunate. Look at all these trash bags, people. and so we just decided to start a podcast based off of that.
That's nice. Cool. That's a good idea.
It's got two episodes out. It's called Small Town Insecurity.
So it's about the show specifically?
It's us like breaking it down.
Nice, nice. On Tubi? It's just like a random...
It's a Tubi show. It used to be on AMC.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. There's a lot of stuff on Tubi that you can watch now. I mean, it's like becoming a bigger streaming service.
Yeah.
It's
have a lot of stuff.
Can anybody put anything on Tubi? Is that where it's at? Like, it's just like you submit it.
It at one time, I believe it was like that. I do think it was like that.
And I think you can almost start your own Like, at this point, I think it's just you can start a channel on Roku. Isn't that what you
think?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, anyways, we'll look into it.
We can put Rhythm and Way on Roku. Yeah.
If you have enough computer people, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure. It might be old code.
You can figure it out.
I really want to get into the D&D pod. Yeah, do you want to go ahead and jump in that now?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, it's called Meat Shield.
Meat Shield. I love the premise of this. Can you explain the premise?
Yeah. Meat-Shield. It started with John Groth, who's also a newer comic.
All right, so we're playing 5th edition D&D for the nerds that eventually listen to this podcast are going to want to know. And then we're setting it in the world of Faerun, which is the pre-generated world of Dungeons & Dragons. You guys are starting in the city of Waterdeep, which all I'm going to tell you right off the bat is basically... just think of it as magical New York. It's a really big city. Oh, shit. Jackson came fully prepared.
So magical.
So it's a big city. There's lots of opportunities for you guys to get up to mischief in the city. There are many parts of the city, and you'll meet many people as you go. I've given you all a sheet of blank paper, and Austin provided pencils. Take notes. I'm willing to tell you guys who somebody's name is a few times, but after a while... if you can't remember, that means your character can't remember, and therefore you're going to be rude in the game to people.
Oh, yeah.
So, which could lead to hilarity, so. Exactly. So I suggest also, you take notes. Hey,
Jack,
and
you'll have to be on the mic whenever you're saying funny things. Gotcha. Otherwise, it's even more offensive.
He just recognized nerds, and he was like, you guys want to try this? And talking about the improv side of all of that. And then Joel, or Stinky Johnson, was like, I don't know what that is. It sounds dumb. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
The D&D.
And then John was like, I'm going to write this in such a way where he thinks he's messing it up, but he's going to make this one of the best D&D campaigns. Mm-hmm. Ever,
yeah.
Just be solely because of somebody playing that like gravitational body fuckery, and I'm doing this defiantly, yeah. And so far, hilarious.
Nice. Stuff.
I don't it's know like how the, you feel part, about yeah. artisan dildos, but it was immediate.
Yeah, artisan dildos,
dude. We didn't even know how to make money, and all of a sudden, he's like, can I sell them some artisan dildos? And then John's just like, yeah, roll to see if you can.
Yeah.
All right, Joel made you guys 15 gold pieces. How about that? Can we keep moving? Like, had not even started any of the campaign, yeah. anything.
He's right.
Like, yeah.
All right, you guys are up. I'm like, hell yeah, we're up.
This is the beauty of D&D, though. It's not you can sit there.
Kane's like, can we kill them? Like, yeah, anyway, it's a great show.
Yeah, I love it.
Check it out.
Had you ever played D&D before?
No, okay. But I'd watched I'm a big, huge Dan Harmon fan.
Okay, oh, yeah, nice. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, he's one of my idols, Harmontown. Mm-hmm. And so the Adventure Zone or whatever he did.
So there's a D&D. He did a D&D.
Yeah, thing. He did. Something awesome. Like that.
Yeah,
well, he did the same thing with comedians too. He'd bring different comedians in every episode, and they would go through it. And they're kind of sitting around a almost like reading table, but they're doing the stuff, and it's super funny. It's really
it's great.
And then that's what you guys are kind of doing is you're bringing in new comedians, and then from what John told me, John Groth said you kill them off at the end too, so it kills the character, and then you bring in a new person.
That's the problem with D&D is it those games last for days and days,
And John is such a brilliant old school nerd that he was like, hold on. Yeah, I think I can make that work. Okay, yeah. This is going to be great.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And then he would just hit us up like, all right, just so you guys know, on this character sheet, you're going to be very excited. And then we're just like, I better be, or I don't care, whatever. And then Stinky didn't want to play. Like, Joel didn't want to do it. And then now he's like so invested.
Yeah.
And it's that's education.
Yeah.
Like 101. How can you get a kid to want to learn something?
Yeah.
You just show them all the reasons why.
Yeah.
That they, how they can't mess it up.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't mess up learning.
Mm-hmm.
right? If you're teaching it right. Yeah. And so, like, it was just so brilliant, and I had so much to take away from that as an educator. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, no, awesome. I love that. Yeah.
It's so fun.
Well, yeah, let's get into you, and then I kind of want to talk about your crew, too, that let's you're go. Running around with. Let's see. All right, so first off, where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
Man, all right.
So, spent a lot of my time growing up. Most of the growing up was in Wellston, Oklahoma.
All right. Town about like 900 people, give or take.
Oh, okay. Small town kid.
Right. And then before that, we moved around a lot. My dad was a preacher and a youth pastor at places, and then set up shop in Wellston for a while, to where that's where I got most of the growing up. And then
that's where the one place you stayed at the longest.
Well, for a while, and then we moved to Edmond. We had to go be poor in Edmond. Poor in Wellston is just being in normal. Wellston. like a lot of kids don't have a horse, you know? It's fine. It's totally normal. You go to Edmond, you're like, oh, this is poor.
Yeah.
This is nice poor. Oh,
yeah.
This is top notch poor. Yeah. I didn't know I could feel this poor.
There's some disparity here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see it.
These kids feel really bad for me. This is a level of poor.
But it came out all right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Try it.
Yeah.
Try it.
So, yeah, you grew up in Wellston. You moved to
Edmond. Moved around in Edmond
around
a few times.
So, did you do performance art or anything performance
there? Yeah. Got in.
Liquid death.
Gotcha. Yep.
Gotten. There wasn't a whole lot of good performance art in Wellston, right? Mm-hmm. So it was mostly just called dicking around, right? You do some funny shit and you go dicking around and you use your imagination.
Yeah.
And you laugh,
Just having fun.
Football was a great place to be dicking around, right? Top notch. So
that's where you could perform in front of your teammates and for fun and
make having them laugh. Really old teachers in a small town.
Yeah.
Great, great small open mic room.
Yeah.
For dicking around.
It's the same thing.
Every day.
I'm gonna heckle and I'm gonna do some good material today. It's gonna be a great day.
So you took the opportunity. All anybody the time. Was in a public space. You're like, I'm gonna see if I can make these people laugh.
Or anytime it was the vibes were off. I'm like, oh, this is tense.
Break the ice.
Who's being the asshole here? And can I outdo them real quick?
Yeah.
Can we hit them with that? and then getting into the bigger town, right? You can't dick around so much without it being a serious ordeal where they have people that will call your parents and they'll talk to your parents like they would talk to you. Like, is everything okay at home?
Yeah.
You guys all right?
Mm-hmm.
That's really bad for parents. They hate that. Parents hate that.
Yeah, I can say, from having kids, I really hate hearing about my kids.
It sucks.
Why couldn't you just hit it out of the park?
So where did you start in comedy? I mean, where did you start hitting the stages? When did you take the act to the stage?
Yeah, so I quit football in high school and got into drama and just was able to do show choir, and I was a choir boy. I sang and stuff. And
hit us with it.
Do you believe in love?
Solid song. Was,
if you pitch that up, I think I fucking slapped.
Hit the auto tune, Dave. Hit the auto tune, would you? So dicking around outside became dicking around on stage.
That's right, and turns out a lot of that just dicking around is just being an asshole.
Oh,
and you're like, you weren't as funny as you were just being an asshole.
Yeah.
And so when you get to go on stage and you're like,
then
I was just interrupting.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't clever. Yeah. I just made a loud fart noise.
Yeah. But it's like, that's what's awesome about stand-up comedy and performing. Like, that's the place for it, right? Like, that's what you're supposed to do. But, of course, when you don't have that, where are you going to go?
Right.
Growing up.
It was just a great transition.
That's awesome. Natural.
Coming to terms with that of you're trying to set a vibe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And,
And I mean, I think it's like you're taking, because I think about a lot about stand-up comedy, it's like you're changing people's, the way they feel, you know what I mean? You're manipulating the way, you know, and that's the same thing as stand-up comedy. But if you're, like you said, if you're in a tense room, you're like, I don't want this to be tense anymore. I want this to be fun. So you make everyone feel less tense and kind of laugh and have a good time.
Yeah, that's it. I think that's it. Yeah, I think that's it 100%. Like, when we were in school and I would do that, or whenever we were around, you're hanging out with your friends and, like, maybe something's happening, you're like, ah, that guy's weird, you know? Or,
yeah,
we got all our skateboards stolen from behind this trash can, but today we're making a memory.
The best is always what's the highest risk. Right? Like, highest risk, and you can't be involved. It has to be somebody else's somebody else's battle that's causing the tension in the room to be a bummer, to the point where they don't care who hears you.
Yeah,
they're not going to be fake, you know, which is not, which is called not being courteous. Like, if someone is like, "Oh, I'm not going to be fake," you're like, "Oh, you're just a discourteous person." Loud and clear. Yeah. Totally cool. Thank you.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you guys, well, I mean, now that we brought this up, man, it's funny you say that, finally taking it to the stage. I've spent, and Dave's seen me, a lot of my life trying to be funny.
Yeah.
And people don't really like that. I noticed.
Or certain situations.
Yeah, they don't
depends.
Call for it.
Yeah.
But I can't stop.
Right,
so
right.
What I realized is once I started going on stage, I was like, oh, nobody can stop me here.
Yeah.
For at least 4 minutes.
This is my
you
time.
Know, I get to say whatever the hell I want to. And it's the proper place for it. Like,
right.
I feel like as I've grown up and I've done more comedy, I'm less trying to be funny out in the world.
Yeah.
I used to do it to customers all the time. And now that I realize that maybe, because I have like a spiel, right? I'm coming in, I'm Nick Campbell, show me your panel. We go to the panel. I go, hey, I'm Nick Campbell. I've been doing this for 20 years, just to let you know. And then I have like a spiel that I have jokes peppered in. Now that I think is fine. But not
so. That's a solid sales pitch.
Yeah,
it exactly. truly is. Campbell's on electric. But no, I feel. But it, when I take that attitude to the stage, it feels right. you know? And then that's when I realize, like, oh, interrupting isn't great, like you said. Or like, I thought I was being funny. I thought I was helping.
Yeah. I think a lot of times it is, though, because I do think that we all walk around here, rock around the world, and just take everything way too seriously. And
Absolutely.
We need to, like, you know, relax a little bit and have a good time and, you know, whenever you can.
Even if you find yourselves being yourself being a dork in the moment, and then you go red face and shake it off, you're still the biggest dork in the room, right? So nobody should feel worse than you. So you did make the vibe better in comparison to where your feelings are. If they're still like, no, you're just an idiot, then that's just the person that wants to feel bad.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like that's what we call a sourpuss.
Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah. It kind of lets everybody know in the room, too, like, hey, this guy's kind of a dickhole.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
Not got you.
It's like, but that's the whole thing with comedy. I mean, it's so weird about comedy because I think it's what I've come to kind of. Think when I think of comedy, it's just all you're doing is pointing something out, you know, most of the time.
Yeah.
And you're putting a little twist on it, making it weird, or, you know, making a different perspective. But, like, a lot of times you can just point something out and people will laugh and you won't even make a joke. And it's something, but it's something about that perception, I think. I don't know.
Oh, just that the eyes of connecting two things with your look.
Right.
You're like.
But if somebody's being a dick,
that's true, man.
And like you are the opposite of that, then it's like, oh wait, that guy's—they're different, you know?
Yeah,
they're different. They're opposite.
Well, you're subverting
like
his attitude
as
well. You're subverting. Like that's the beauty of comedy, is it goes, oh, this is all bullshit.
Yeah,
this is all. That guy's mad. Who cares?
Right.
Feel bad for that guy. We're gonna have a good time. Like you can kind of almost put people in a box or make them feel like they're being ridiculous, and then they go, all right, I'm being ridiculous, and then they go. You know, it has that, and you're right, too, as far as, like, just pointing something out in the room and the looks. Like, you could just give, you could look at a guy, get on stage, the first thing you do, you don't say anything for 8 seconds, which is the longest 8 seconds. If you just got on stage and didn't say anything for 8 seconds, right? And you just looked at it, and guy was like, you look like you're not having fun. And you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
just immediately. Really. Yeah, and then it's just, like Dave said, I think comedy is funnier the closer you are to the recognition. So if we're recognizing something from 2 weeks away, then the comedy isn't as funny. You have to put more twist on it.
Right.
But if it's closer to in the moment, then you don't even have to put the twist on it because it's just like, oh, we all recognize that.
Oh, yeah.
This is
somebody
crazy.
Just dropping some, like a plate of drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything is fine to say. Like,
yeah.
Anything. It. I've heard so many things drop in my time. I've bartended. I worked at Panera Bread. Yeah. We used to cheer at Panera Bread. Someone dropped something, and it would just be, you'd hear a pan hit the ground. Kablang! We'd just be like,
yeah, that's a good yeah. But you're saying like it's like a way to like break the tension to where that because it, you know like I've worked in restaurants before and it's like or just when you drop something you feel like shit. You're like especially because you have to remake it or whatever and clean it up. So you're just like you feel terrible. But then if you break the ice and be like oh, you'd make him laugh or whatever, just
it's like there's a high stimulus moment. And then the whole room doesn't have any details on what that means.
Right.
And so it's just sitting up.
Yeah.
And then you get everyone's to point it to, is that person about to get yelled at to where I have to feel bad about them?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we going to enjoy this moment and be like, hey, this is a pretty fucking chill place.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I love that, man. Because, it turns that whole scenario into comfort. Yeah. And then now every time you drop something, everybody is forgiven.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna start doing that in my house. Yeah.
Then there's also some people that they will beat themselves up so much harder after, you know, we're like, dude, we all joked about it.
Mm-hmm.
The thing. And then you just need to forgive yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You piece of human trash. And then that will just sit there like, I don't know why that makes me feel good. You're the man. You dab it up. Like, God, this guy gets me.
That's one of the things I love about you, man. I really, because you're so positive. One of the things, whenever I first started, and we were introduced by Leo, because Leo was like, you have to meet Austin. He's super funny.
Dude, love you, Leo.
And I was like, so we go up to JJ's. JJ's, of all places, he was like, hey, just remember... JJ, nobody does good at JJ's.
Eat it at JJ's.
Yeah, eat it at JJ's. But you came up. I had a tough time just because of JJ's.
Yeah.
But I was in the beginning, so I didn't know. You know. And you come up, you go, hey, man, it's all right. You're like, it don't matter. Let's go hang out. And I was like, oh, yeah, dude, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And it's that attitude that I think that you bring where it's this, it extends from your teaching. But it's like, oh, well, this is a place where we can have fun. This is what we're doing here. And you subvert the negativity. And I love that about you.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. So anyways.
Thanks.
I don't want to pigeonhole you.
Good.
But and you're very funny in any way. But I noticed that you try to focus on prop comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah? What got you into prop comedy?
So... my dad, preacher dad, also both my grandpas, my mom's dad and my dad's dad, all retired preachers. And so I'm in this Christian mafia.
Nepotism, yeah. I see. Oh, yeah. Started with God.
I'm literally grandfathered into heaven. Like, they had this sermon, which was called Sermon in a Sack. And it had not ball sack. Yeah. It would be like a Walmart bag or a suitcase or like a old purse or something. And they would just have a prop of some sort in that. And that would be the anchor point to their sermon coming back to each time.
Whoa.
And so preaching and great comedy is written very similar. When it's done great on both ends.
We are now taking donations to help support Rhythm and Wit. It's called buymeacoffee.com/rhythmandwit. And that is where you can go and just donate any number, any amount. I think that what they do is it's called Buy Me a Coffee. You can buy us one cup of coffee. Costs $5, so you can just donate $5 and that will maybe buy one of us a coffee.
So we'll sip on it together.
We'll split it. So you can do that, or you can buy us 10 cups of coffee if you wanted to. So I mean, that's like a $50 donation, and then that's all goes there. You can leave us a message on there, and if you do leave us a message, we will certainly read it on the air and thank you for your support. And any of the money that we take from Buy Me a Coffee or any donations at all
we are going to use to put back into the show, whether it's buying new equipment, maybe some mics or cameras or lights or anything like that, or maybe even promoting and just trying to grow the audience, because that's something that I'd like to get into, is, you know, buying some ads and things like that to try to grow our audience that way.
Absolutely.
And of course that costs money, so we would love it if you could support us. If you have the means, please go to buymeacoffee.com/rhythmandwit. Rhythm and wit.
If you think about it, lives are like firecrackers. Right, they don't last very long, and everyone should applaud afterwards.
That's right. Yeah, that's
and watch
right.
out for fire.
That's right. Yeah. And with and whenever they fall over and get launched at your Aunt Ginger, she almost catches fire. People bring it up at your Uncle Todd's funeral.
Was that one of the sermons in a sack?
No, that actually happened this week.
Did it really? She got my, shot. No, she got uncle, shot at somebody.
My Uncle Todd died. And
oh, I'm sorry.
We had a great guy. Love you. Anyway, my mom's cousin, so he's like my uncle because of how close they were. Mm-hmm. Like 13, 14 cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh, wow.
They, and they would roll deep too, you know? Like
yeah, they'd, go, yeah.
They'd have game nights.
Oh, so you had like a big
oh, yeah.
family
oh,
kind of
yeah.
like getting oh. together. And were they playful like that too? Were they just real?
Super just like get your, just messing with you and talking trash. And
yeah. Was it that open learning environment there as well?
For music,
yeah.
There's a lot of music stuff like that. But I got to see at the funeral this week how deep the family does run. You know, when you're like, oh, this is a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Wow. And then some people came up from like old churches that I grew up at. Mm. And they were like, how do you know Todd? I'm like, Todd's my mom's kid. And they're like, that's wild. I had no idea you knew Todd this whole time. Todd was a good guy. I'm like, Todd was a good guy. And he was also a vibe engineer, you know.
Mm. What do you mean?
Oh, yeah. Like,
just like people yeah. sitting around bored.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm going to go raid the ice cream and make a bunch of floats. And just do that.
Yeah.
Not ask.
Yeah.
Just do the thing. Like, kids, come in here. Just come
on. Oh, that's awesome.
And then all of a sudden, kids are like, you can do it with Mr. Pibb? Is this illegal?
You can do it with any soda.
Any soda?
Yeah, dude. Sherbert and Mountain Dew.
Don't tell Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
Dude, tell me, what was one of your favorite sermon in the sacks?
Man, there was one he did, my dad did with a basketball. And the point was all about that the moon reflects the light from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just like in your attitude and in your walk, you should be reflecting the light of the Lord as you go through. And so he had a flashlight and he did the
yeah.
yeah. So
I love that so much.
Yeah, and he bounced the ball around, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something about having like a physical object, I think, that just makes it like more, definitely more memorable, I think, you know, especially yeah. for that. I think that's huge for, you want to remember that kind of lesson. You always think of a basketball, or anytime you see a basketball, you might think of that lesson. I think that's really good. But yeah, for comedy, I mean, that's just.
It's some
just
people fun. Don't have a mind's eye.
Right, mm. yeah.
So, like a mind's eye where mm-hmm. you can't just conjure
like
a image in your head.
If you think mm-hmm. of an apple,
people don't
you,
have that.
Can you? Yeah, some people.
So I people guess. Can't visualize.
Yeah. yeah.
In is like the same way some people can't sub vocalize.
Yeah. Some people don't have an inner monologue.
Mm-hmm. What if you don't have both?
Yep. yeah. We love wow. you.
Yeah.
Just scare me.
Yeah.
You're just scary.
Yeah.
Still scared. Love you. I'm just scared of you.
What are you thinking about yeah. at that point? Yeah. Are you all instinct?
I am thinking about tacos while I'm
yeah.
eating tacos.
Right. Yeah.
I am saying tacos, eating tacos. It is taco time.
Is that what's really messing us up? Like, should we just not do any of that? Like,
I mean,
we would truly be in the moment.
Thinking slows you down.
Does it?
I mean,
yeah.
But I mean, how are you, there's also visualizing makes you get better at
yeah,
stuff.
For
so,
sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
being
yeah,
able to
sure.
run tape.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does have its help.
Yeah, I think it's something that you, if you work on it, because that's something I do. It's like I got really into like mindfulness meditation like a couple years ago, and I don't do it as much these days. But I mean, it changed my life in the way I kind of go about my life, just because I think that the point is, if you can get to a place
where it's like you can, you don't have to have these inner dialogue monologues like controlling everything or taking over, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's like if you can quiet that down and just actually live in the moment, that's the best way to be. And that's something that meditation helps with.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting because, yeah, and that mind's eye thing I think about a lot too, because it's like, I mean, I can't, I think I have a very strong sense, visual sense. I mean, I'm a graphic artist. I'm going to, you know, do all these things visually with video and stuff like that. So, but I do think about that, people that can't do that. It's like, man, that sucks.
I mean, I have a really successful friend. My buddy Alex lives in New York. He has aphantasia, mm-hmm. is what the thing's called. Mm-hmm. And I think we border on a thing called like a hyperphantasia.
Yeah.
Which, for dramatic effect,
yeah.
Which can be bothersome.
Yeah.
Because, like we said, living in the moment,
mm-hmm.
Future tripping.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of, yeah, you know. That's probably one of my problems. I need to look into this.
Future tripping.
I think about the future way too much.
It's either way, it's a hallucination based off of your thinking of your best understanding.
Right.
Right. So it's like a form of perfectionism. Mm-hmm. You're putting a cap on what your actual capabilities are because of what you believe you can do. Right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So whereas if you're seeking more of a progress over perfection, the progress I've learned much more things, bigger doors have opened, mm-hmm. unlocked in the understanding of, I don't have to be in control over all of this.
Yeah, it's
what was the switch? How did you make the turn? Or did you do it or did you not do it? How'd you learn it?
It's a muscle, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I'm getting older.
That's the thing. I think one of the ways.
A lot of people are dying around, you know. Uh-huh. It was just like, huh. You know, but I think a big part of it was in helping the guys that I'm working with. And, mm-hmm. you know, my comedy got better in helping,
mm-hmm.
In my attitude being more outward focused.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I inherently have an issue with self-esteem,
mm-hmm.
right? To where if I don't hit the notes that I wanted to, I can come off stage and still be sad.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Everybody laughed.
Yeah.
And you'll still be beat up by it.
Nobody had any idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody knew but me.
That's definitely something with music that I struggle with the entire time I've played music. And nowadays, after 20 years, it's like, well, I know this, and, you know, but exactly what you said. You get on stage and you miss three notes, and you're like, man, I know I could have made those. I could have hit those notes or whatever, but played that properly.
Then that's just a loop.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to go back and talk to those people and apologize and
matter.
Say, actually, here's the joke I meant to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to beat the shit out of myself and be like, you're crap. You should work harder.
I do think that some of that is... Because I have a lot of self-doubt, like you were saying, self-esteem, too. It's like, but I think that the self-doubt that I have, I've learned to appreciate it a little bit because I wouldn't be as good as I am without it. So it's like you need some of that, and you shouldn't, you know.
But it shouldn't be detrimental to self. Mm-hmm. That should be the
I heard somebody say something rad one time where I started doing this, and this is talking to your anxiety like it's a little friend
mm-hmm.
that is losing their mind. Yeah. And they're like, everything's, but you don't understand. And you're like, hey, dude, I really appreciate that you care so much.
Aw.
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
Calm down. You can't help me right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the way you have to think about
and
it.
And it's just like,
yeah. Well, that's something that Liz always talks about too, is self-talk, positive mm-hmm. self-talk, like how you talk to yourself and in your head, that becomes your externalization. Like you end up talking mm-hmm. to other people or have these same expectations for them that they don't, you don't even have to put that on them. It's like being a father,
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times you run into that wall and you can keep pushing into it, or you can be like, all right, man, let me just change everything I thought I knew
mm-hmm.
and go, okay. I think the kids are really just us, but we have more filters. Right, oh, yeah. And we're able to hide a little bit better. Mm. But really, we're just like them. We have the same emotions. We just go, okay, that's not acceptable.
Right.
Right.
You learn, society teaches you not to to control your emotions and all that.
But the restraints around them are really only fake. They're not real. Mm. You know, a lot of the times that you're in your head or beating yourself up, it's like, oh, recognition is important. Like you said, having the self-doubt and understanding, hey, I didn't really do a great job there. That's great. Honestly, because that's how you get better.
Yeah, but why?
But like, you don't like, have to kill yourself with it.
You know, like, I can put it down on paper why I felt bad. And it was like, oh, well, when I made this choice the other day, instead of working on my set, I did this. And it's like, well, what the fuck is wrong?
Yeah.
I guess the ADHD is just going to kill me, you know? And, and then that, like, go walk around. Like, go do... Draw something, you idiot. You know, like, then you're like, oh, okay, thanks.
I love that attitude, man. I mean, I love the idea of working with yourself versus working against yourself.
Whose voices are those?
Parents.
Oh, yeah, that's
Predetermined things that you maybe heard. Or
for a lot of people.
Or you assumed. A lot of time, whenever you have those issues with your youth, it's assumptive. It's not even like, oh, I had this experience and it was tragic to me, but to mom and dad, it was just another fucking day.
Yeah. Could have been from a movie that you internalized.
Right. Yeah, dude, I didn't
you're getting a hand job. Like, there's a lot of things in your past that you could be feeling feelings for.
Same reason I don't watch Barney.
Straight up. We all get that.
Dude, I didn't have a My Buddy doll because of Chucky. Do you remember My Buddy dolls?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my brother had one, and he wanted one so bad, like, when we were younger. And then when he got it, I was like, I'm hiding that every chance I get.
Yeah.
And I hid it in the closet under clothes. I would hide it and be like, where's my Buddy doll? I'm like, I don't know. No. I don't know where it's at, bud.
Yeah, so we were a good Christian family, and we were not into idolatry. So I guess, you know, worshiping a little buddy doll is kind of a little sacrilegious.
Okay, so, okay. Now I see where the voices are coming from. That's
just saying.
I didn't like it, okay? Yeah, and, I didn't want it.
And that wasn't even my family. That was, like, other people putting on, like, another thing for what they think the preacher's kid should be acting like, you know, or like being compared to my friends in the car with them. They're like, you should be a good kid, more like us. And like, lady, you're going to get me beat up. This is not cool.
Yeah. Well, and then how are you? I mean, it's funny that you say that, because how you are treated in your environment dictates kind of how you grow, obviously. So you're a preacher's kid, and they're treating you like a preacher's kid. You are forced to move that way, just like when you assume a kid is bad, and then they start acting it because you start treating them.
They're no like bad kids.
There are no bad kids. Yeah.
You just people just turn around someday like, oh shit, I'm a crappy adult.
Yeah.
Dang. And even you can be fixed.
See, this is why I love Austin. I can be fixed. Okay, yeah. So I want to say, you did. So you went. You said you studied. You studied UCO for teaching or education?
Okay. So I dropped out of college 3 different times.
So first time was for studying sociology and psychology.
Oh, nice.
And moving towards like therapist, like counselor, psychologist, psychiatrist world, you know.
Nice, yeah.
And then money, you know. but that was the first, like, before that, I went to a Bible college out in Wagner, South Carolina.
Holy cow.
Yeah. That was one of the first times I sold everything and moved away. Yeah, it's pretty fun. Yeah.
How many times have you done that?
Handful.
Yeah. Where have you been? Where, like, tell me, what are you doing in Oklahoma?
just
back.
It's like the safety net where you go out and explore and spin your wheels until it's all gone.
Yeah.
And then you're like, hey, mom and dad, can I live in the garage? They're like, no. You can live over next to the garage. Get a job now.
Yeah. I think we all made a trip back to mom and dad's house. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can.
Yeah, it's a blessing.
Yeah. It's absolutely.
It's a thing where I'm like, oh, okay, that that's why you stay together. Like, so that you can be able to be that, you know,
anchor
point. Like straight up, like mob, mafia type of vibe where like, I can literally drive in all sorts of directions, but because I got uncles and dad, grandpas, cousins that are in the ministry, peppered throughout the Midwest.
Okay.
So a couple calls. And
you're always a phone call away.
Tow truck, dinner. You need a place to stay.
Nice.
There's a potluck dinner. We got all this. You want to come hang out? Hey, you can move out here. You know that, right?
Like, that's sweet.
Like,
yeah.
It's.
Do you feel like I've heard this, but like preaching is a lot like comedy as far as like they go from town to town.
Oh yeah.
Some preachers do, and then they set people up like that.
Like
well.
Adjunct preachers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But families that move around, stay in a place, kind of preach there, and then move to another spot. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll happen. Sometimes it's just politics that will cause the movement, but
yeah.
Sometimes there are people that are just mission minded.
Just like comics. There's people that are out there trying to do
just
it.
Just waiting to get to that mega church, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want that mega church money.
Give me Joel Osteen money. I just need a little bit. I don't even need that.
I want to be doing theaters, not stadiums.
Yeah, man. So with that in mind, something I did enjoy that we talked about, you got us into the Science Museum for free. That was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
But something that you worked there as the programs director, didn't you?
I was one of them.
One of them?
Yeah. There was a whole programs team, about six, sometimes eight people, trading off different jobs, but then also having your, like, different events, right? So stuff like homeschool day. So I do a whole event day specifically designed for homeschool families, things that they'd be running into, science stuff that they could do at home that they can keep doing at home and, you know, upgrading and, you know, for homeschool stuff. Yeah, got to, you know, get to be a community organizer. You're just calling up different places and be like, hey, you want to be a part of this?
Nice, yeah. Did you do the stage stuff where they did the science, chemical, and they do all that fun stuff on the stage?
A few times. That's the Science Live. That's a whole department. They have a whole other team. They would have their crew come up to our programs meetings and talk about, you know. But I got to do, like, these outreaches where we go to different schools and different places, like all these Title I schools that we have, small, underfunded schools throughout, you know, our great state. We get to go teach them that air is stuff, you know, and blow some things up.
Yeah, you know? That's cool. Yeah, that's what you should teach kids in low-income places, how to blow things up.
We need to make a lot more room for some more highways. So could you just take care of it yourself?
This is Demolitions 101. Yeah, and then real quick, we just kind of get out of the personal stuff after this, but this just was interesting to me. You worked at Vail Resort as a snowmaker?
Yeah, dude.
Just made the snow?
That was one of the other runaway moves.
Oh, okay.
I was 23, and I was organizing mortgage paperwork, doing banks for homework for them. Like, it's like I was like working for underwriters. You get the whole mortgage come through, and they have all these dumb codes that I didn't really know very well. I was really bad at this job. My boss did not like me, and she wanted me to go faster. Like, I ballooned up way big and fat. I was eating, like, so much and drinking so much. So I want to die. I hate this place. And I was, go faster, go faster. I'm like, and so, my buddy Charlie, he got me an interview. He was like, nobody wants this job, but it's really hard and scary.
Like, I'm glad you got out.
I want to do that. I want to do hard and scary.
To make you appreciate not doing hard and scary?
Dude, no. This is the greatest thing. Hear me out. So I'm like well over 300 pounds going into the high Rockies. Got the job on a phone interview. Because I got Riz. And I get there and they see me at orientation and they're like, oh no, this guy's really big. And so one of the guys, the lead mechanic welder guys, who looks like he's 30, who turns out he's like 48, you know, he's like, hey man, you know, you might die out here, right? I was like, just started laughing at him because I was so sad. I was like, I'll just go out and die in the mountains. Yeah, I'll be eaten by a bear, you know? And he was like, no. And I laughed and he was like, hey man, a guy did die here last year. How? He goes, he got down in the hole and a fire hose blew off and smacked him in the head. Then a hole filled up with water. So hopefully he drowned. Because it froze him in there.
Holy
crap. I was like, okay. So
this was that underwriting job?
No. This is before the underwriting job. This was snowmaking. But yeah.
Yeah, snowmaking. I'm just playing. Sorry.
What got me? Water and air get slammed into like this cannon. Right? They also have fan guns that are pretty cool. But the craziest ones are like jet engines. So like, imagine you have like, two hoses, one going through here, one going through here. One's like 100 PSI of air, and the other one's like 400 PSI of water. And then they just get... And then you aim the thing up. Mm-hmm. It creates this like plume of a cloud.
So that's... And you did that. I'm putting this together because I was trying to figure out what this job was for. Yeah. But that's for the mountain so they can snow snowboarding, right?
So you have to put a layer of fake snow... artificial. Right. You know, we pumped it from the lake that's like a town over.
Yeah.
And then up the mountain through a bunch of pump houses up the mountain. And then through these fire hoses into these cannons. And then you have to go check the snow quality, which is the best. All right. So you're out in all this gear and you're just like on the snowmobile and just out into the plume.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like just on you and you're like, okay. It's coming down. That's good. First, that's good. Up there, onto me, step one. Because sometimes it's just water dribbling out.
Yeah.
And like, we have a problem.
It's not working.
Because it's just going to freeze right there. Mm-hmm. You remember that kid.
You remember that.
He's fine.
He's not fine.
He's not fine.
It's cold blooded.
So is he. All right. Rest in peace. You check the snow that it hits you. And just kind of.
Yeah.
All right. And it's got to kind of pack, you know. It wants to look kind of like mashed potatoes. Mm-hmm. That's how they're like. And then it wants to pack, but not get wet when you pack it. Mm-hmm. So we're out there just like. You got to scoop it off the ground, too, to check that. So just like, pick it up. And then, because it's so loud, if it's too wet, you need to signal to the person over at the hydrant to open and close the valves to either turn up or turn down the water. And so you have, like, just a little bit up.
Yeah.
Just a little bit down. Then you have... like quite a bit, and they're like, dude, turn it all the way up, or bro, we're gonna die. Like, you know, like, meanwhile, just like grabbing snow, okay, goggles, get back onto your thing. Let's go to the next gun.
Just walking around pretending to be a penguin, dude. That's like, dude, that sounds amazing. I would love that.
It is, like. Yeah,
I was hoping you would say like how we check it is we just do snow angels.
Yeah,
like, you're allowed to try that.
Yeah.
Jack will be like, get off the ground, get off the ground right now.
Oh my god.
Yeah, because it's a lot of old gritty dudes that have just been there since 1985.
And they have no sense of humor or soul left.
They do, but not the one that 23-year-old fat guy they were going to haul his carcass out.
They were worried.
They were like, all right, fuel up the chopper. Jesus Christ. This guy's going to break a chopper.
So,
but I didn't die. I got through the whole season.
Yeah, I was worried. Yeah. I was worried that you died.
I lost like 70 pounds in like 2.5 months.
Yeah. Did you from going up and down the mountain?
Just hiking. Just having to keep tipping your snowmobile back up because being top heavy and then just grinding down on one and then you just, that was really soft and then you just tip over. Then you got to shovel your ass out. Wait like 20 minutes for the oil to settle down in your thing.
Oh, shit.
Meanwhile, the guys are going by. He fell again. Thought he fell again. He was on the radio. He fell again.
So it's like Colorado people are just...
they're cool.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, they're all right. But they're not healthy because it's like their choice is like their survival.
Yeah, pretty much survival. Yeah, they're living like on the edge at all times.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It's hard to breathe. Everything is up.
Yeah. They are... And they all look young. They all it's cryogenically frozen up there.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Well, I'm glad you're here in Oklahoma, man. So you got
I'm a real loser in Colorado. I'm pretty tight here.
We'll show them where you're at now. That's what you
got
to do.
They'll be like, okay, you got fat again. Good.
you still flipping over? You still flipping over them mobiles?
What's wrong with your voice?
You sound like a wise owl. There's nothing wrong with that.
Who? No, seriously, dude. Who? I like that he's
so you
Italian.
Decided on prop comedy. We came a long way from that. Yeah. How do you create the bits? How do you come up with the props? You just pick a thing. You're like, all right, water bottle, you know?
How stupid is this? Mm-hmm. That's the question. It's how utterly stupid is this? And can I piece it to any other stupidity to make it look like it's on purpose? Yeah. Like, when it's just like, so you know how dumb this is? Okay. All right. Is this dumb? And then can I surprise people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because like... It's a lot of work.
Yeah,
we got to pack around all that stuff too.
Yeah,
I've seen you come into place. You come into a place, you just look like you got a bunch of groceries on your shoulder. So what's like a 15? Like a say you got a 15-minute set, right? How many props you taking with you?
Man, have them stacked, right? So instead of doing a set list. Mm-hmm. I'll have it stacked in there. So some of them are just reminders that could be a bit. Mm-hmm. Some of them are the transition to start up a line of jokes to where it's like, I know when I go from this, it's going to go bap, 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 and then it's over. So whenever it's that tight, then I can fuck around like mad. Yeah. And I can tell the audience to shut up like and be like totally in like the... Oh, no. I'm very prepared for this. I can make it look like it's going off the rails.
So that's on purpose.
Yeah.
No, oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Dude, it put a cork in it. I don't know what it was about to put a quirk in it, but when you were over there, he just went nuts. You remember? Yeah. That was one of my favorite times watching it.
It was this is this going bad? Because it's funny.
Yeah. I was like, did he make this all up right now?
Is this going bad? Because it's funny. I mean, I had the guitar at that one, right?
Yeah, you did the guitar.
So the only one that I did was the 9/11 song. Everything else was improv.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, so thank you.
Well, that was beautiful. It was like the perfect spot for it, and you really opened it up. Like I said, you brought the guitar. You did the 9/11 joke because somebody called out 9/11. No, he's just not doing that. He doesn't just do that.
Yeah, that was wild because I was like, well, here we are. But I want to get into that kind of... skill level of improv. where I can actually do, like, Harry Mack. Right? He's a rapper. Mm-hmm. He will rap about things that he's walking by or having people, give him, you know, intricate words on, like, you know, Zoom call or Omegle or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's so beautifully crafted. And it looks like he is effortlessly making this up. And I was like, that's a level that I want to get to where I can do that with my guitar or with any instruments that are there, to where it just looks like magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, speaking of magic, one of your favorite comedians.
I like magic.
Oh, well, that as well. one of your favorite comedians that you talked to me about was the amazing Jonathan.
Yeah, that
was a big inspiration for you.
Absolutely.
If nobody remembers, amazing Jonathan was...
also dead.
Yeah. I think there's a couple of documentaries they made I heard about. I haven't seen either of them, but...
I think it's called Most Talented Method Alive.
Yeah, there's like... This is probably maybe 4 or 5 years ago now, maybe. Yeah. There's two different ones that came out around the same time, but... Check those out if you're interested.
Definitely.
He was a subversive guy.
Yeah, he was.
Dude, he was. And he was a little wild. Obviously, he was a comedian in the 90s. So, you know, there was some stuff going on there. But how he would play with the crowd and like you said, just
border on abuse.
Yeah.
It was really, really just like some things. It was like some stuff. Well, because people, I guess they got really not okay with putting drugs in people's drinks and people drinking them. So
around the 90s?
Yeah, back, somewhere in there, it just got not cool.
Yeah.
But before that, back in the day, he had a bit where he was just like, all right, come on up here. We're going to do a shot together. And then he gives the audience member the shot, and then he's like, what an idiot. You just drink whatever I gave you.
Yeah. Dude, he used to do that.
I'll see you here in a little bit.
And he would like switch.
Yeah.
And he would like, take, no.
But yeah, that is just so silly. And it's the performance and everybody's attuned to the moment, right?
Yeah.
And it didn't take, it takes a lot of gall. You know, not, you know, more, which is arguably more difficult if you're like,
I don't want to, just one person is like,
nope, you're dumb. You're dumb. One slightly more charismatic person in the audience can just derail whatever magic you're doing.
Right, yeah. That's interesting, too. Yeah. Because I think that it's probably a part of it. Because I think about magic a lot. We know we're good friends with the magician John Shack.
Yeah,
I love John.
March 6th, Magic and Marlow at Put a Cork in It Winery.
Yeah,
love you, John.
Go ahead.
So, anyways, I think about magic a lot, and just I've heard like magicians on podcasts and stuff like that, and just, you know, not, I've never tried it or anything. Like, I don't think I would really want to try it necessarily, but
try what?
I think it's fascinating. Just the same way as comedy, it's like the craft of it is so fascinating.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You have to love it more than you have to love the showing off part.
Right. But I think that something
that
about...
sucks. Something about love showing off.
Yeah. Something about the magician or, you know, it's like magician and comic, right? Like, you have to learn how to... like gauge people. Like, you're gonna choose the person that you know is gonna go along with the bit. You're not gonna choose the person that you think that's not, you know, that's gonna ruin it, you know. And that's a part of it too. And you have to learn how to gauge people and figure out who's the right mark. You know?
Yeah.
This is actually I've been kind of working on an idea for an education book that's like for educators. Mm-hmm. And it's called The Hand of Positive Trickery. Mm. And it's taking that type of thing where the learning happens the best whenever everybody's fully engaged.
Yeah.
And the learning is the, how do I never forget that thing?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I learned how to do X, Y, and Z, that thing I wanted to do. I wanted to learn how to do this because of a thing I saw. And that was like the precursor to like, so like magic is one of those like, you can use magic as an educational tool and comedy as an educational tool. Other things, because getting captivated. Mm-hmm. The joke that I say is, you got to get them in the van.
Get in the van.
You got to get him in the van. Oh, I know all about that.
You
got to
get a van. I do.
There's somebody in it
one
now.
Of the chapter, one of the chapters is literally called, you got to get the kids in the van.
Yeah. So you're like actually writing the book currently?
I have like outline notes and stuff, and then that's I have awesome. Like a thousand other things. So like,
yeah, I love that.
It will squeeze it out eventually.
Yeah, that's
do you think you're like more of a, like a educator at heart? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, creative, creative education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think awesome. That's what comedy is a big part of too.
Yeah, it's definitely something we need more of. That I think. I mean, in this country, it needs an entire revamp of the education system, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean,
This episode of Rhythm and Wit was brought to you by Campbell & Son Electric, Oklahoma City's trusted one-truck electrical contractor with over 20 years of experience in the field. Whether it's upgrading your home's electrical service, troubleshooting issues, or tackling small commercial projects, Campbell & Son Electric delivers top-notch work with care and attention you'd expect from a family business. Servicing areas like Dell City, Edmond, Yukon, Mustang, and beyond, they're your go-to for reliable expert service. Need help with your next project? Visit CampbellAndSonElectric.com today and get it done right the first time. Campbell & Son Electric, brightening Oklahoma, one wire at a time. So something that you do, you kind of, about a year ago, you got together with a group of guys.
Yeah.
Called yourself the Dipheads.
Yeah.
And it's like a little sketch comedy group. You guys create reels and you do...
Yeah. In fact, on Instagram, we're Heads Dip because Dip Heads wasn't available. Oh, but right. I already started Dip Heads with an older friend, Tristan McGinnis. You remember Tristan? He was a stand-up for a little while.
Didn't get to see him.
He's out of the scene at the moment. He's doing better things, living the dream, doing better.
Yeah, that's good.
Love you, Tristan.
Dip Heads came from him wanting to get into hydro dipping, which is like where you put paint on the water and then you dip like helmets and hats.
Okay,
and,
cool.
You know, that it kind of like,
yeah,
you know, like a flea market art.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bowling balls and stuff.
It's cool. Yeah, right. It's not cool.
Yeah.
It's like, it was like, let's go.
It's like tie-dyeing, like metal stuff.
Yeah. Right, I was doing tie-dye work and doing other art stuff. And the house that I call, that I live in, I call the incubator. Mm. And so it's where you can just, you got an idea?
Yeah.
Let's make it. This is an area where it's this is the best case for growth in your artistic endeavor. So what do you need? Let's get it.
Right. Awesome. Nice.
So he said that, and I was like, I think I have a lot of those supplies to just try something right now, to just go from zero to one, right? And one of my favorite lines is, zero to one is an infinite increase. An infinite increase. Like,
yeah.
So if you're doing something new, you're learning something, cut yourself some slack, because you're going from
zero
to infinity more than zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Just so you can slow down. You're learning. You can slow it down really slow because it's still a zero to one.
I love that. Right? Yeah, you're going to make some progress.
Yeah, it's impossible to not.
Yeah.
Right? So I was like, cool. So we got like a hat and some shoes and spray paint and big tub. And I was like, yeah, I have the right kind of paint. Cool. Sprayed it in there and made a hat. And like, cool. And then after he did that, he didn't do any more.
Yeah.
It was like, I kind of want to do this. Okay, let's see if you really want to do this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like my Mycelium Gallery, too. You can walk in there. They have that thing in the back where you can grab stuff off the donation.
Yeah,
the craft.
You can try the art supplies.
We tried a few other things, but it was like, okay, I see how this works.
So I
see the levels of commitment to be great at this.
Yeah.
I do not want to execute such a plan.
That's great.
Yeah, and so it was cool. And so, like, all right, next.
So that's where the name came from?
That's where the name Dipheads came from.
Yeah.
And then...
Who's in the Dipheads? So who all is in the Dipheads?
So pretty much anybody who wants to come be in a video. So if you look at the main names on the Instagram, we have me, Zach Hubbard, Joel Morrison. There's a couple guys who aren't even don't really hang out so much anymore, but we still consider them in because they have so much to add into group chat, and then other events that we're planning down the road. They're great minds to have, and great attitudes. Just because, but you kind of have to do some stand up or performance. So, but even that, like, you're in one of the videos. Mm-hmm. Bingo.
There you go. Yeah.
You did it. There's your credit. There's your deal. Mm-hmm. So then it becomes, how much time do you want to invest into what we're doing? Mm-hmm. Right? And so if you have an idea for a sketch, we just ask to storyboard it to where it's a clear vision.
So what does that look like?
John just turned one into us, that John Groth, that we filmed yesterday. It was, I don't know, maybe 8 pages of drawn out on, just simple, drawn out on white sheets of printer paper that had the basic idea of, here's the joke, and then the punchline to the joke, and then little message, like, details about this scene. Yeah. Then that way, when we go and we talk to everybody, because some people don't have a mind's eye, we have this thing where we go, does that make sense? And then they go, oh, yeah, that reminds me of X, Y, and Z. Okay, that looks like a thing.
Yeah.
And then once we have that, then we rely on just takes, doing jokes, fucking around. Make sure we get the idea done enough for the person who went through the time to storyboard the idea. We focus on them. They're
kind of like the director.
They're mostly director, unless they want to act in the thing. But then they have to give up creative control to somebody else behind the camera and stuff. So it's this acting back and forth and trading back roles in order to make, I guess, quantity.
Yeah,
I mean, quality is going to happen through repetition.
I was curious, like, how long are the reels typically, and like, how long does it take you to make one?
We'll shoot one day. Editing will take however long it takes. You know, Joel is a really good editor. I mean, it is, and I am so great. Like, I'd have to relearn some things to get to the level at which he can crank out the editing.
How long has he been doing it?
I don't know.
Oh, he's just messing with it? Yeah.
I mean, he has some
CapCut, or is he like DaVinci?
Yeah, he has CapCut, and I'm sure a few other things. But it's the roles that people fit into, we try to maintain clarity. With that, and it gets really rocky sometimes, you know, not like rocky, just like kind of uncomfortable at times, where I'm not trying to be a dick or anything, but I want to just know what the details are. And then being able to be like yesterday we were filming, there was another add-on idea that was a good idea, that was just after the fact we're like, that is pretty good, that's gonna be weird, I like that. And then the specific details were holding back from us getting it done. So it was like, well, okay, I understand we could rotate through actors for that spot to make that happen, but John's getting chicken right now, and when chicken gets here, it's going to be difficult to get everybody back in film mode. Like, so I want to do this right now. And I was way more of a bitch about it. I was like, I don't care about your idea. It was like so way dumber and meaner than it should have been. And I was like, can I just say, like, I just don't see that being important. Dang. It is important. Just didn't have the word, you know. Can we just shoot this? And we did. And it was fine. It would have been cooler the other way, but we didn't have the time.
Sometimes you just gotta, it's hard. You gotta make the sacrifices for the larger thing.
I mean, getting 5-6 dudes together to, I don't know, shoot clay pigeons. Yeah. That's the funnest thing I could have thought of.
Like that.
Like, can we do that right now? Like, that'd be tricky to get 6 dudes right now. You know?
Yeah, I mean,
because we're grown ass men.
I always think about that with this podcast. It's like it's impossible to get three people over here for this, even most weeks.
Yeah, always plan to cancel.
Yeah, that's oh yeah. No, I've learned for sure.
It's great.
I've learned something in doing like video production and in any type of production. Really, it's like something. It's never gonna go exactly to plan. You have to like. Just be willing to roll with the punches and just accept and how it's about, not as good as you want it
this?
To be.
If, how about when it does and you do get everything you want and it sucks? Yeah. Still not. And people tell you about how much it sucks and you're like, no, you're wrong. Yeah. You did enjoy that. Right. You loved it.
That's
like,
true.
No, I really
sounds like my sex life.
Exactly, right? I've been putting in the work.
Come on. There was so much sweat equity in this.
You can see me caring. Yeah.
You're acting like Karen. Okay. No, I love that. You guys had some success on TikTok.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, you guys had some success.
What a weird day that was. Yeah. Weird series, still weird now. Still weird.
Yeah. So what happened? What was that about?
Dude, so the run of jokes that we were doing this series was about how we were the most massive Cowboy fans. Mm-hmm. It was just crazy. It was just insane stuff. We had a bunch of Zach's dad had a bunch of Cowboys memorabilia. So we're like, this is so much.
Yeah.
If we decorate the house with this, it's going to look really psychotic. Mm-hmm. And it did.
Fuck! Oh, fuck! What the hell is this, Jim Pro?
You're wearing a goddamn fucking shirt.
That's not what it looks like, boys. I still like the Cowboys.
I don't get it. Moose, just tell them I still like the Cowboys.
No,
just,
you don't. You're wearing a Vikings jersey.
The Vikings are just better. They're 5-0. They're just better this year.
I can't believe you did this. This is your legacy. Look at this wall. Daddy's going to take you out of the wheel if you're wearing this Vikings
jersey. Moose, don't.
Benji's terrified.
He did. And then we were like, it's just for the scene. It's just the setting. It's just until the season's over. And I'm like, okay. All right. And then one day we were ripped out on mushrooms. And it was like 3 days after we pinned up all these freaking signatures of like Hall of Famers. Mm-hmm. And I'm tripping balls and I stand up and look around it. I'm like, it's all wrong. It's all wrong. This is awful. This is, I don't know any of these guys. Yeah. They would be so weirded out if they came over here. They saw pictures of themselves. What if all of these guys were in here right now? It's actually a lot of these guys are no longer with us. I'm like, that would be the worst. Yeah, anyway, so it was a bad vibe, but it was great for turning on the characters. You know, having it said. And so that's what I like about being able to use the house in all the different ways, like what we have it. Mm-hmm. We have it. And so the video you're talking about.
Okay, let's see.
Lizzie Evans, she came through. We were doing some videos that were, we just wanted to have a Jewish element because thought that'd be funny. It's pretty topical. They're really popular these days. I don't know if you've heard about the Jews in the news, but they're doing good. They're bigger than Blue's Clues. All right, never mind.
Guy's still a songwriter.
I need to go. No.
So it just turned into, first of all, the most vile, like the stuff that falls on the cutting room floor is a blessing to the world that it's there. Like, because we were still trying to make this look like we're imbeciles.
Yeah.
But caring imbeciles. And a lot of the time it just, in order to get like the crazy, well, that's an inappropriate question. You got to go, you know, we're talking about absolute value here, all right? There's a negative absolute value and a positive. All right? Absolute value is the distance from zero, all right? We are getting away from zero a lot of the time. It's different, sometimes way below. And so it does have, energy and stuff. And so there'll be times where if one of the guys wouldn't have said something so absolutely out of pocket, we wouldn't have had that second part as he was coming out of the darkness for whatever lunatic shit he was transmitting. And so, yeah, that we had so many crazy Jewish jokes going through that of like, what would these just plumb ignorant guys be saying that are overconfident? Well, so since I'm not a Jew, I'm a Gentile. Like, like that, and that's Cody. Cody just came up with so many of these bangers.
Is that Cody Lee?
Yeah, Cody Lee. So many bangers through that that we were like, oh, well, we have to keep going. Anyway, we put that one up, and the one before that, the most views that it had, maybe like 20,000 views, 25,000 views. And we were like over the moon that we broke 10,000 views, like 10,000 people. We're like, I'm thinking about how many people are in my hometown, how many times they'd have to sit and watch it in order to make up that many people. Like, that would be crazy. Some of them would just do it. It would still be on. They'd be asleep.
They'd be a green guy.
They'd be asleep, but they're good people. They're very helpful. It's way easier to talk like that.
Damn it.
So, then it... Now it's over 1.25 million views. Encroaching 100,000 likes and shares. And
did that, so you guys end up getting a lot of followers and stuff off of that? Where you're at with your
followers? I had like a 200 followers on the Dibheads page. It's it's almost like 800 now, and we're not trying that. Right. Like the social media, you know, I don't know which dance
the game
that you gotta play, or
right,
the hustle. You know, release this many at this time. Right. That could be real.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I think with it, it's like it could work for someone. Obviously, it did work for some, you know. But it's like, I always think about
nobody
that
I
stuff.
Respect.
Yeah. I always think about that stuff is like, there's no one way to do any of this. You know what I mean? Like, you just got to do...
Now, if somebody legit said, hey, we like what you're doing, we can buy a bunch of bots.
Right.
And pump your numbers. How do you feel about that? I'd be like... That sounds pretty cool. I'm just going to have more view.
Yeah.
And I don't have to do anything but maybe lose some character.
Right.
That's enough.
Can I get more character?
Do I get it back?
Does it come back later after I have a lot of money? Don't think it ever does.
Well, the funny thing about character is you know.
Yeah.
I hate that about character.
So how did you and the Dipheads get together? Like, what sparked the creative?
Man, what were we doing?
Mushrooms.
So I met Zach, at the Burt Kreischer movie. The Machine movie.
Oh, nice. Zach Hubbard?
Yeah. And I had been kind of on like a comedy hiatus for a little while, right? And just working. I loved working in the Science Museum. It was just taking me away from things that I wanted to do. And so I just go to this movie with my buddy Tristan that I was talking about. And there's this guy, Zach, he's in the theater, and he's handing flasks and vapes out to strangers, and he's like, we're having a good time. He brought a date. He didn't like her. He was like, whatever, lady. And he's just full-on Zach. And I'm like, who the fuck is this annoying motherfucker? And he's like, hey, and he's like, you want some tequila? I'm like, I do. I'm having a kind of a bad attitude. Thank you. So we're drinking, and then they move us into another theater, right?
Yeah.
So then while they're moving us into the other theater, he wants to sit with us. I'm like, sure, hell yeah, dude, let's give it. Still just like, this guy's a lot. This guy's a lot to deal with. Oh my God. So it's kind of annoying, you know, and I don't know anything about him. And, he was like, hey, you want to take your shirt off with me? It's like, Bert. like,
fucking Zach.
Like, and mind you, I'm wearing a shirt that looks like I'm not wearing a shirt, thinking that that hack ass shit is gonna be enough for like six on a Thursday. You know, like this is fine. And it wasn't fine. Zach was like, "Well, I'm gonna go down there and I'm gonna get a picture with me with my shirt off in front of that sign." I'm like, well, then I'm a huge loser hack that's wearing a fake shirt. This is worse. This is your fault. Why you gotta be this cool? All right, taking off my shirt. Now I'm shirtless with a stranger going down to the front. People are cheering. There's people cheering. And I'm just like, I can't believe this is happening.
I love that.
And just as we're like, yeah, this is dope. Look up, and there's like all of these college guys are like taking their shirts off and joining us.
What?
And they're all jacked and in great shape. And I look at him, I'm like, well, this is just not cool. This is going to look worse. And, like, and it looked very funny. There's some pictures on Instagram of us doing that. Funny. And then I was like, have you ever done comedy? And then right as that conversation was starting, somebody yells, "Slaughter!" from up at the top. And it's Graham.
Oh, shit.
It's Graham from the comedy club and the bartender. Oh, and I'm like, great. This is great. This is perfect. This is kind of great. This is great. I look like a lunatic out and about doing comedy guy shit. This is great.
Yeah.
And I was, have you ever done comedy? No, but I've always wanted to. And then we had that classic back and forth. For weeks where he'd just send me jokes.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, nice, that's pretty clever. You know, we're not friends enough for me to be like, what, do you want to suck my dick or something? What are we doing here?
Yeah.
To which that took like a couple of more days. For me to say that, not for him to do that.
I was about to say, was he good? That's it.
No.
Tell him to text me some jokes, would you?
Lazy blowjobs. Each one of these dipheads is lazy giving blowjobs. Say it twice.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's all right. You can't get any good help anywhere.
So you met Zach.
That's what
you guys fell in love.
It's not.
My dad's a preacher.
He's not.
So you got together with Zach.
Yeah.
Okay, and then how'd you get the rest?
I dragged his ass out of the comedy club. Yeah. There's a lot of other story in between that. His dog died. He told me his, and then I was like, yeah, I think you got a really good bit here about your dead dog. Mm-hmm. He's like, are you serious? I go, yes. And then he wrote it, and it got some laughs. Mm-hmm. And then that was, he was just like, oh, cool. Feels really good to just like go find funny people and drag them on stage and be like, and then be like, all right,
yeah,
just do the thing, just keep being you, just go.
Well, I was out at the Chiba Hut mic on Friday, you know. JJ Wood is trying to get a new mic going at Chiba Hut on Friday, so we'll have a Friday mic. So be sure to head out if you see that and support that. But they was packed already,
it was wild, man.
And they were giving away the Tom Segura tickets,
dude.
So, yeah, that was pretty cool. But we all were hanging out outside after.
Yeah.
And they were just, I mean, them going back and forth, all the dip heads, they were just joking and playing. I was like, they're writing right now.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah, it is.
I was like, they're just going off. I was like, this is great. This is amazing. Yeah. So do you guys cultivate that energy? You kind of just do that?
Yeah, we're all a bunch of insecure weirdos. Yeah. So once you find a bunch of insecure weirdos that you can swing away with, and you know that, like, I'm not going to cross a line with this guy that's going to hurt our relationship and make them mad. And, oh, we're gonna fight about that. You're like, no, it's oh, you can absolutely lick the darkest part of my butthole if you're offended by that. Okay. Good day. All right, you guys want coffee? All right, I'll be right back. But then also having the hardest times ever.
So Joel is insecure. Joel seems very confident.
Isn't it weird?
Yeah, isn't it weird? That must be put on. Yeah.
No, he's a funny guy.
Yeah, he's super.
We're funny. We're all in the same kind of boats. Mm-hmm. We're all like kind of, I want to be funny. Mm-hmm. I want to be really funny.
Yeah.
How do we do this and like not have to, you know, be afraid, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. That's, Well, you guys are doing great. Like I said, I was in there. I was just like, man, this is fun. This feels like riffing on stage. You guys are just going off. Yeah. And so you guys bounce off each other really
improv
well.
Improv rooms. You have, like, the worst thing about improv class is the warm-up games that they make you do that make you feel purposefully look like a dork. Mm-hmm. Right? And so, like, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to hand you an imaginary thing. And you're like, I feel kind of stupid. I wish we could just get to work and be stupid and catch it as we're doing it. Mm-hmm. You know? But you still need that trust to be able to know that your buddy is going to yes and instead of no but.
Right.
And then even then, if that happens, you got to have another friend be like, no, no, we yes and here. Mm-hmm. We're a yes and family.
Yeah.
Now like we have cult. To yes and you're no but.
Yeah.
Do you know that? That's very difficult. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really meta here in a second. They're going to be actually mean to you. Calling your mom for this bit.
That's so funny, dude. Yeah. All right. So how does it feel to have like kind of a crew or brotherhood in comedy? It seems like you guys really kind of help each other out, push each other up.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys work out bits together.
Yeah, play. They'll be like, I mean, sometimes it's like, you know, you have something good and you don't want to tell. You're I want their real reaction from my homies.
Yeah.
From this joke. Mm-hmm. I know not only is it good, it's going to be good for them. And if I tell them now, I won't get to have that very special, like, sandcastle moment.
Yeah.
Where, okay, you only get one of those. Mm. So, like, yeah.
Oh, that's a good way to put it. It really is. Yeah. Magic and comedy are sandcastle moments. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, and that's the comedy in our like day to day, like the DMV. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to be a real comic, go make the DMV fun.
Yeah.
Go hang out with the DMV. Like, whoa, how are we doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What number are you? Mm-hmm. You want to trade? No. Can we change this TV?
Like, Law and Order's on.
Like, I hate this. Yeah. This one's just numbers changing.
Dude, all right. So you want to wrap it up a little bit?
What else? Yeah, dude.
We're about
I could do this all day, dude.
Yeah.
I got no voice, so I could do this for days. I can still go.
We appreciate you coming, man.
Oh, man, really I'll do it. Yeah, this is the best.
So a couple questions I have that's left. We'll just kind of get this rounded out. Now, I'm really inspired by you guys. By the Dipheads, the effort that you guys put in. You guys are taking care of each other. You guys, you know, support each other. You support John Groth's mic on Monday at Thunderbuds.
When I can.
And more. Yeah.
When I can, it's a
tough one, but Monday's a tough day. But, I mean, the fact that Groth is really putting his foot forward.
Mm-hmm. You can brute force your way into being great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You really can. Because with new comedy, he's been in it, what, like a year?
Or I think less than that.
Less than a year, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's in his first year of comedy, and the amount of work that he puts in on all of these things in a relational level. And if you think about John Groth, he's never said anything coarse, mean, rude ever to anybody that didn't have a great joke next to it. Mm-hmm. If it was his opinion, and it was like, this is my opinion, be like, damn, dude. He still has those great moments. Mm-hmm. But out and about, how he carries himself is a marketing genius.
Oh,
He is infiltrating, and he just seems like this happy-go-lucky, goofy goofball guy. And it's always, which he is.
Yeah.
That's still very real. But the parties he puts on, Hannah, from a Bollywood party he put on.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. This was last Saturday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, he's a chef at a hospital. He's a chef at a hospital. How much more service industry?
Yeah.
You can't go berate your table. Guy's losing a gallbladder.
But yeah, Groth, I've seen you guys put that together. You guys take care of each other in that way.
He's our dungeon master.
Mm-hmm. Is he? Yeah. He's the one. Yeah,
he's our DM for D&D. Yeah. He's so thoughtful and like, everything you're like, oh, nice touch. What the hell? And then like, there's no room for somebody to be like, what a try hard. You're like, you can leave. Yeah. You don't have to be a part of this.
Now I see why Zach wasn't the one. It was John the whole time. That was that was the love interest right there. No, I've been watching him and, you know, he's been doing good. You know, dude, it's tough. You know, when you first start out, how hard it is. Because you don't, I think once you do a bunch of mics, that's when you finally go, oh, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
it stops beating you up a little mm-hmm. bit, you know. Yeah. But I did want to ask you this. And then, so, you know, you do, you know, working with kids, being an educator.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the classroom. How does that help being in stage in front of adults?
You're always bombing.
You're with the kids?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're it's depending on the age group. Sometimes they always love you, right? Mm-hmm. So you come in there. If you have to get a kid to do a thing, right? Like learn a thing. Hey, we're going to work on stop motion animation, right? Mm-hmm. You can make stop motion animation really boring and tedious. Mm-hmm. You really can. Because mm-hmm. the act stop motion animation is inherently tedious right. and boring, and for I spent an hour and a half for yeah, but did you see how it looked alive? Yeah. You're like, yeah, yeah, I watched it do that for an hour and a half. Steadily got there. Mm. It's really exhausting, right? Well, you got to have some sort of a vision thing to mm-hmm. put in there, and oh, where are we going with this? Attention grabbing, getting kids to not talk while you're talking.
Yeah, I mean, this sounds like I'm open mic.
Yeah, it does sound like an open mic. Yeah,
it's the whole time. It's, yeah. Oh, boy. And so whenever I had the opportunity to leave the museum and mm-hmm. more focused on this, that it's just across the board. Mm-hmm. It's doing better for my community, I feel, mm-hmm. and better for my soul. Mm. Not that it was a problem there. It was just my problem. Yeah, sometimes there's only so many hours in a day.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I run into a lot. I was telling I text David out of my frustration yesterday because I went and did a show on Friday. And then I had to get up and go rewire a house. And, you know, mm-hmm. and I was just like, I'm so tired of this crap getting in the way of my comedy. Right.
Nah. And there's some people out there that they don't have that excuse of I had to wire a house. They just didn't go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They just, what happened? And I'm just not really liking my middle setup joke for my closing joke, like, and that's why you didn't go. Yeah, you shouldn't go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, nothing inspires me more than manual labor, you know. Because I'm like, I got to get out of this.
One of these days, one of these days, baby. Do you have any cool stories about wiring houses and, you know?
Oh, yeah, I've got a few. There was one time a guy hid a very realistic skeleton.
That's just clean fun right there.
In the attic space where I was working.
That's a good guy.
Like, if you go into the attic, because most attics are in the garage, and this guy had a really nice house, so his attic was basically like a whole nother home. Like, that's how much money this guy had, is that his attic space was the equivalent of my house. You know, a good 900 square foot. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's how you get squatters.
But that's how you get squatters.
I'm not gonna go check that attic, but once a year.
He goes, and he's kind of a goofy guy. He was fun. He was like, when we were talking, he was like really fun and silly. I was like, oh, this is my kind of guy. Mm-hmm. So we're jamming, we're talking. 30 minutes, we aren't even working. We're just talking and hanging out. And then we go into the garage. He's like, all right, I'm gonna leave you alone. He pulls down the garage thing, and then he like turns on the light to the attic, and he goes, all right, man, you should be good. Hold on a second. And then he like walks off, and he comes back. He goes, yeah, go ahead. And then just leaves. And then you hear a bunch of rustling in this room. I was like, what the hell is that, dude? Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, anyways, well, I'll get started. Put my headphones in. I'm crawling back there. And we're replacing this exhaust fan in a bathroom, right? So it's all the way in the back away. Mm-hmm. And then so I'm standing there, and I'm undoing. So you got the thing about the nice houses is they have like 2 foot of insulation, blow-in insulation. So you have to kind of swim through it to get to everything. And then I have to move everything out and make different piles so I can get to this box. As I'm moving things out, the skeleton, because it's yellow. It's not even, it's like, he did, it's not a good. White. He was like yellow. It had weight to it.
This is respect.
It was like, I was like, ah! I was like, I freaked out immediately. And then he, right whenever I freaked out, underneath, takes the broom and boom, boom, boom.
Nice touch, bro. That's nice. After the anger subsides,
yeah,
and the genuine, just real. Ooh.
No, immediately, because I knew, because you knew from the bottom. Like I just busted out laughing, yeah. Dude. Like, nice. I was like, bah!
So then I kicked a hole right through the shield.
Dude,
we both laughed.
No, but I shit. Like when he hit that, I was like, bah, no. But yeah, that was one.
Dude, that,
that was a good one. Okay, so what are your we just kind of have this is how we end up. What's some goals with comedy? What does success look like to you?
Oh, yeah. So we want to find a space to do some things in, right? Some events, some coordinating things. And if we can do that full time, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Have you tried contacting the venue?
Well, I mean, we're the space we're like in a, I don't want to speak it out of existence, but like a non-profit, kind of like a like 501c3, you know, and then getting grants for doing community event type of stuff. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of red tape in that. Mm-hmm. So like this is one of those like that would be so neat,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Because that can turn into after school programs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This ultimate vision of how fun would it be to, motivate jackass kids like myself and, you know, like ourselves from, like we were growing up, mm-hmm. doing a type five, you know, in Miss Short's psychology class, junior year, right after Katrina. Yeah.
Is that your girlfriend?
No. No. She didn't like being called.
That was a tight five right there. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, but
sorry,
it's good. But but those moments,
mm-hmm.
And then if you can get the kid to turn in the joke to the teacher, mm-hmm. instead of popping off and interrupting, mm-hmm. the lesson. And find a way to motivate that to an after-school program, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like something like that, where like, oh, man, this lady's lucky that I'm not using my powers for evil today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then it all comes back to whatever the thing was. I just think it'd be really fun to teach comedy and improv from, mm-hmm. that kind of level,
right.
of, mm-hmm. you're here because you are a bunch of jackasses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're gonna.
It's like, I think it's like that.
We desperately need you.
But going back to the
earlier, world is scared of you. I want to train you and build you up.
Yeah, it's like you're like Professor X.
Yeah, exactly. That's what. Yeah, the Dead Head Future. That would be pretty awesome.
But yeah, I love that. But that is like we were saying earlier about like not having a place for the silliness, or you know, the classroom is not necessarily the place for it, but you're giving them that place for it.
You're not a cut up. You're bored.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and now that you mention that, wouldn't it be great to have a place like almost like, oh, you sent them to detention?
Yeah.
But the detention is an open mic.
It's it's
karate class.
Like people are getting their friends in trouble on purpose to have more people at the open mic.
Oh, dude. And like, how awesome would that be if, like, you know, the kid who's like thought that he's been funny for so long, mm-hmm. but he was just an asshole.
Right. Yeah.
Then he gets to go up in front of a packed house.
Yeah.
He's like, and so then I said, fuck you, Mom. And everyone's like, oof. Ooh. And then obviously we'd be laughing in the back, like, the green room howling.
Yeah.
I told him not to say that. I told him I was going to bomb.
Oh, look, he's learning.
There he goes.
Oh, okay, and then real quick, where can everyone find you, man? Where can everybody find you?
Man, just if you see me, say hey.
Like, take your shirt off.
Yeah, open mics. Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah, what's your Instagram handle?
Mine is the Holy Guinea Pope.
Yeah, okay.
It's and this is, I was a pick before I ever started a thing. That was literally a picture on my wall of a guinea pig dressed as the Pope. When Instagram came out, you gotta get an Instagram. And I was, I don't wanna.
Yeah.
okay, the holy guinea pig.
There it is.
And then on this rock, I have built a church. Sort of. It's not. I have not. I have hung out. Then it's mostly everybody else getting stoked about an idea,
yeah,
and then other people getting stoked right on that idea. And there's this line in a song called the song's called Wooden Heart, I think, but it's by this band called Listener. And in the line, he says something like, "My fingers in your veins shocking each other back to life." That's how I feel like in these group contexts. Mm-hmm. It's yeah, very, very important to where, because I'll have a great idea that is trash on Friday. Mm-hmm. You know, like, uh-huh, you know, and then be like, no, that was a good idea. We're working on that idea.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you.
It's another 1%.
Just, mm-hmm, yeah. Good stuff.
Well, thanks, man. We really appreciate you coming out. You know, we're going to see more of you. We'll put you on some stuff, hang out, go watch it. Something I love that you do is you share everybody's stuff. You love comedy for what it is, and you just love people.
Yeah.
So,
Oklahoma, man.
Yeah. Thanks again, dude. Love you, brother.
Yeah.
If we're not moving, we're staying real hard.
Yeah. That's right. All right. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
See you later. Have it. Okay.